I believe it is important for us as Christians to realize that we need God. As a nation, we're celebrating our independence, and that is a catchword as so many people in America long for. We want to be independent, and in many senses, if you really think about it, independence is really just freeing yourself from one entity and placing yourself in dependence upon another. Another entity that you are more favorable with. Often, it is a dependence upon yourself for a certain amount of time, at least. It was interesting to just think through that very subject of independence. When we want our independence so often, according to our own human thinking, we want freedom from oversight. We want freedom from another's control. And in fact, our founding fathers, as you read the Declaration of Independence, I did that this morning, read through it. It's not a long read, but it is very interesting to read through that document and to see the grievances, to read what their issue was and why they were pursuing a new nation. And there were some incredible things that they were dealing with that they found intolerable. They had sought, through many measures, to make amends with the King of England, but it did not happen. As members of the human race, we naturally desire independence, especially when it comes to what we view as pleasurable for us. And then we want to be dependents when it comes to things that attack our own happiness. For example, we want freedom from government regulations, but help from the government when things aren't going well. Or we want a freedom from the police arresting us for breaking certain laws, but we call 911 when someone is endangering us. And there's that interesting dynamic that's taking place in our world today as people wrestle with what does it mean to be an American and what does it mean to be independent. Obviously, America was not in existence in the times of the New Testament. We know that God knew of America, that God knew that this great nation would be in the future, that God would use this great nation to impact the world with the gospel, to send out many, to love on people and to share God's truth, to translate scriptures. God knew all of those things. But the center of God and his plan and his work is not America. It is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ and the gospel has had a tremendous impact on America and on our history. But our nation is a nation living in confusion. We are a nation who is confused because we have lost sight of the God of the Bible. I don't need to tell you this, but I believe it is important to remind us, and especially I have in my mind's heart our young people, as there is a tremendous war that is raging for their hearts. Our nation is confused about gender. Male and female is what the Bible says God created. But in our schools and in our culture, there is confusion about this point. We as a church need to understand and realize and go to the scriptures for the truth about gender. It may seem silly to us that we have to even deal with this, but let's remember we're dealing with the devil, who is a deceiver and a liar, and he will do whatever he can to cause people to move away from God or distract God's people from ministering truth in the world. So many churches are becoming confused about gender. America's confused about roles. We as a church need to understand that God in His Word defined the roles of a man and a woman, a husband and a wife. God's defined roles for the church and men serving and women and serving. You see, God answers those questions. God provides what we need. God has the answers to roles, but America's confused about roles. Why? Because they don't go to God for their answers. America's confused about family. What is a family? It is interesting to think through. There is all kinds of different views of a family today. You notice advertisements and commercials, how there are all kinds, there's just different now. Very different. What is a family according to God? We as a church need to realize, go to God, go to His Word, and understand and see that God defines the family. The man and a woman, and they have children. And they are a unit, independent of their parents. And they're called to teach their children. America's confused about the family. And one of the reasons I go through this, is to remind us as a church, remind us youth leaders, remind us Sunday school teachers, remind our moms and our dads, our grandparents, that our nation is confused. The church ought not to be confused. Authority. Our nation's confused about authority. Who's in charge? Is it okay to have people in authority, and what is their role in our lives? Do you know God speaks about authority? Value of life. America's confused about the value of life. There are some that seek to define life according to their own parameters or what is convenient. There is a blind eye to what science has taught, and of course an ignorance to what God's Word has taught from the very beginning. America's confused about life. Children, I trust you are not confused. I trust you realize God is established. He's the giver of life. From the conception in the womb to the day He allows you to take your final breath. God's not confused about life. The church ought not to be. The role of government. You know, the government is God's idea. God put it in place. And you see that in the book of Genesis. God put in place human authority over other humans. God understood the evil and wickedness of men's heart and understood how important it was that there be some in authority. God's very own nation, they were led by Him, and He had judges, and then there were prophets, and yes, they did go the route of the kings. God worked. Government's not perfect. It's flawed in many ways, but God established that authority because He understood it would be important for us as mankind. You see, anarchy, the absence of governing authorities, what does that reap? What does that gain you? Origins. America's confused about origins. Where have we come from? Let us not be shocked or surprised if people treat other people like animals, if the science books tell them they're animals. That's not what God says. God says that we as men and women, we are made in the image of God, the only creation that God made in such a way. God said He created, and it was not because of a big bang. But America's confused about origins, and it is amazing how that has penetrated American life. An influenced life. It influenced our view of life itself. The very existence of God. America's confused about God. Who is God? Who are we going to worship? Who do we give our affections to? We as a church know there is one true God. But America's confused. History. This is, in my mind, seems to be a more recent event, but you could correct me if I'm wrong, but it is interesting to see how the very history of our nation, there's confusion about it. But dear ones, it is interesting if you study history, and you better hurry up before the books are changed. You study the history, and it's not perfect. And nobody's making the charge that the American history is perfect, that our founding fathers were perfect. No, they were not perfect. But you know what you do see is you see a faith in God interwoven throughout much of our history. No. Marriage. I have a difficult time putting these three words together. Same sex in this word. It's not marriage. It's not. Because God defines marriage in His Word. But our nation is confused about marriage. Education. Our nation is confused about education. What's it for? What are we supposed to accomplish? Who's supposed to be doing it? You know, the Bible presents the primary educators that are parents. And this is not an advocacy for homeschooling. This is advocacy for parental involvement in the lives of your children and not just shipping them off and letting somebody else do the education. Be involved in your children's education, wherever that is. Home, public school. You know, I praise the Lord for those Christian families in our public schools, our Christian teachers in our public schools. What a blessing. Be involved, parents, in the education of your children. Work. Did you know that Adam and Eve worked in the garden and labored there? It was not a result of the curse. Well, the curse of sin made work harder. Why do you work? How hard should you work? The Bible has much to say about work. Laziness. Those who do not work do not what? Eat, it says in the New Testament. I've thought about doing that in Art House, but we'll move along. I'm so mean. How about this one? Race. How many races are there in our world? There is one human race. One race. But you know, this has been such blown up. There's one human race, church, and we need to be the people who advocate that. No matter how you look, no matter the color of your skin, there is only one human race, and we're all a part of it. The church has got to be clear on this. We got to make sure our families are clear on this. Because that's what the Bible proclaims. There's only one human race, Adam and Eve. There was not another family that somewhere else or in some other planet. There's only one human race. And we're all a part of that. It's confusion about suffering and trouble. Why do we have suffering and trouble in our world? Why is that? Is it because of the climate? Is it because there is a discrepancy in income? Somebody said it. It's because of what? It's because of sin. Where do we find that answer? In the Bible, in God's holy word. That's such a such a small little word that answers such big questions. But when you find the answers in the word of God and you find the solution is Jesus Christ, there is hope. There's life. There's redemption. There's forgiveness. Why do we have all of these issues? Why do we have confusion at all? It's because of sin. But the we've got to call it that, because if you don't call it sin, then you don't have the solution. But if you call it sin, then you've got the solution, Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ gave his life for the remission of sins. Now, where do we come up with all of these things? We come up with these things not from our own heads and our own minds. This is not me reading a Hallmark card. This is not me reading some man's book. This is me reading God's word. And church, we've got to be this kind of people, these kinds of individuals, that despite the confusion, we can see through it as we follow God's word. Now, that's a lot of exhortation and a lot of things that I know you already knew. And I'm not trying to drum up a fan club or an applause for me, but an applause for the Lord Jesus. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures as a reminder and as a foundation for what we've talked about today. First, please go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Here in John 15, Jesus is with his disciples the very night he is betrayed. So the very next day he goes to the cross. He is preparing them for his departure because he will not always be with them. And here is one of the things that he presents to them that is a truth we need to cling to. Verse 1 of chapter 15, John 15, 1 says, I am the vine, Jesus speaking, I am the vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Now hear these words, for without me you can do nothing. That is one of those all-inclusives. One of those things that just draws a line and it's no, wonder what that means, right? I hope you caught in those five verses the truth of abiding in Christ. That's the word of dwelling in, remaining under, just abiding in him, in his truth. Remember, he is encouraging his disciples with this because he's going to go to the cross. They're going to watch him arrested, betrayed, arrested, mistreated, suffering on the cross. He's buried. He rises again. Then he ascends back into heaven. And all along, these words are ringing in their hearts, and they ought to ring in ours as well. Abide in Christ. The picture of the vine and the branches, I hope we understand that the branch on a grapevine produces its grapes not because it's such a special branch, but because it's connected to the vine. we need to be connected to Jesus. If we are going to navigate through this confusion in which we live, then we need to abide in Jesus. Because he says it, for without him we can do nothing. Nothing. Go to Romans chapter 1, please. Romans is written, obviously, after Jesus Christ is risen and ascended to be with his Father. The Apostle Paul was met on the road to Damascus, and his life forever changed from persecutor to preacher for Jesus Christ. He is writing to the believers in Rome. Now, who's the ruling power of this day? Rome. And so these are people that are in this city, this capital city of the world empire, the most powerful empire in the world at that time. And it is exciting to read and to hear what he tells these believers. I'm not going to dive into every aspect of this passage, but I want us to see a couple key phrases and points. He says in verse 3, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be, verse 4, the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. That caught my attention. Among all nations. As he here is writing to believers and he is speaking to them of Jesus Christ, who he is. And the effect that he has had, that Jesus has had upon our lives. We have received grace. We have been sent forth for the obedience to the faith among all nations. For his name. You know, this doesn't get a lot of press time as being another commission to the world. But I hope you see this. As he pushes, he encourages, as he talks about who Jesus is, this is for all nations. In America, we're one of those nations. And we are one of those nations that have many people in it who have experienced the grace of God. But notice verse 5, the end of the verse, for his name. We live for the Lord. We live in his name. We minister. And so we minister understanding that we need to be connected to Jesus Christ, abiding in him, for without him we can do nothing. We minister because we recognize it's in his name, not ours. It's his name that needs to be proclaimed. I encourage you to look across there to verse 16 because he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Oh, that is an incredible, incredibly powerful statement of why we need Jesus Christ. And our purpose in this world is proclaiming the good news of Jesus. That's the power of God. That's what brings salvation to everyone that believes, whether you're a Jew or not a Jew. The just shall live by faith. We minister because we need God. We need to abide in Jesus Christ. We minister because the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God into salvation. We minister because our world is confused. As Paul writes in verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Think about that. Hold the truth in unrighteousness. That the very truth of God, they are holding it in a sense that is not according to the standards of God. It's there, but it's not according to the standards of God. That they are holding on to it. Our world is living in such confusion. Because, the verse 19, that they which be known of God is that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now listen, look for this word changed, verse 23, verse 25, and verse 26. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. Our world is confused. And because of that, they are subject to the very wrath of God. But nevertheless, we've been called to minister the gospel. And we can minister as we do so, abiding in Christ, because without him you can do nothing. Church, it is my conviction in my heart that we need to celebrate the beautiful truth that we get to be dependent on God. We need God. Today, our nation celebrates its independence, and I know and I understand and realize what that means. But we have the privilege of having a God who is so intimately involved in our lives and reminds us over and over again we need him. We need to be people who are in dependence upon God. Lord Jesus, thank you for these scriptures. So much more can be said, and I believe you will say it in your own way, in your own time, in the hearts of your people. I want to thank you for truth, that we can know truth, and we can know you. And Lord, we submit unto you our lives, understanding that is what you have called us to do. For without you, we can do nothing. So help us, Lord. Amen.